Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
Fucking finally.
Today we'll be talking about the 17th episode of Doctor Who, the series 2 finale.
We made it so far!
Yeah, the 9th and final serial of the second season. The Time Meddler, which consists of the episodes The Watcher, The Meddling Monk, A Battle of Wits, and Checkmate. And those air from July 3rd, 1965 to July 24th, 1965. And today we have our second returning guest, who was our first guest, which is Mr. Chris Cherry!
Yay!
Hey!
Everybody applaud.
I'm holding a mic.
Oh, okay. So what's been up with you? fill us in on what's happened since,
been watching Doctor Who. I don't remember what I said last time, but like, I'm still doing that. I may have said that I was in grad school, but I think like in the time intervening, I may have shot 3 web series.
That's 3 more than me.
It's 2 more than me.
But no, it's been good. I watching Doctor Who.
Is that old and new?
Old and new. I just said this, like, I watched all of the Time Meddler and then immediately watched The Witch is Familiar, the episode that just aired. And that was the most surreal experience. Because I was, like, watching the same show, but not the same show. And it was the thing, because, like, Time Meddler came out in 65, so I'm like, watching the same show 50 years later, from 65 to 2015.
It's 50 years and 3 months.
Thank you.
I mean, that's what he's for. Joe is here to, like, keep track of when the episodes aired.
Joe's here to keep track of obscure trivia that no one else cares to remember.
like the fact that this serial, we actually watched an edited episode without realizing it. Because these episodes were, these episodes were considered missing, or at least 3 of the episodes were considered missing, and they found them, but they were edited versions for like violence and stuff. And then they found 2 of those episodes complete later on. But they never found that 3rd episode complete, so it's missing like 12 seconds of like Vikings stabbing people.
That was a Joe fact.
That was a Joe fact.
Can that be a segment?
Good app. Yeah. Today on Joe Facts.
Joe Facts.
If you want more Joe Facts. Actually, I do want to, before we dive into the Time Meddler, I would like to take a little bit of a diversion to talk about something that Tony and I watched the other night. I'm still trying to catch up on New Who. We just finished the 5th series?
Yes.
Like the whole thing?
Yeah. Which means I can read your spec script if you ever find it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I can send you my spec script.
I'm excited.
I wrote a spec script that takes place after series 5. I wrote it like right after series 5 ended. I wrote it between the end of series 5 and the Christmas special.
Oh, that's perfect. That's where I'm at.
Exactly. So yeah, I can send you that. Because it's funny because both my script and the Christmas special involve Rory and Amy's honeymoon. But
yours is better.
Mine can still be canon. No, mine can still be canon. In fact, actually, you should probably watch A Christmas Carol first, because my script points out, says that they've had multiple honeymoons.
I think they said the same thing in the thing I'm about to talk about.
Go ahead.
Before we start series 6, I've been watching the Sarah Jane Adventures season 4. And in that season, there is a 2-parter that's written by Russell T. Davies that has the 11th Doctor in it.
Yes, it does. And vultures.
Funeral vultures. Part of the reason I'm bringing this up is the last episode we recorded, there was an episode called The Death of Doctor Who. And I was like, if it was made today, it would be called The Death of the Doctor. And that is the name of this Sarah Jane episode, is The Death of the Doctor. But yeah, he mentions that Rory and Amy, something about a honeymoon, but it was like...
It's a planet that's on a honeymoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a honeymoon planet, and it's not what you think it is.
Yeah, the planet got married to an asteroid.
Which is a very 11th Doctor thing to say.
It was interesting seeing RTD write the 11th Doctor.
I know. I wish it could have happened more. I would love to have seen that. He got it. He wrote him really well.
I mean, there was some, like, I'm going to reference a lot of 10 stuff, but that was fine.
But, like, I don't mind that. I like it when they reference, like, 10 stuff now. This is an incredibly, incredibly minor thing. Just last week, they mentioned, like, they went to the Shadow Proclamation again, just for, like, a minute. It was like, and they recast the lady who's in charge of the Shadow Proclamation. It was like, holy crap, that's back.
That's cool.
Yeah, I like when they do that.
I'm looking forward to catching up. I'm also looking forward to getting to, what's her name, Jo Grant?
Yeah.
Because she was adorable in that episode. She's in that Sarah Jane episode.
Jo Grant isn't my favorite companion, but I like her a lot. Like, she's definitely, like, top half.
She was delightful. Like, she was just cute the entire time. Anytime she was on screen, I was like, yeah.
And, like, I started looking this episode up on Tumblr after we watched it, and there's people that ship Jo and Sarah Jane, and I'm like, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I can see that. I've seen that episode. It's one of the few Sarah Jane episodes I've seen.
And another reason I wanted to bring it up is the fact that we now have in canon confirmation that Ian and Barbara got married. Though there's that weird, like, they don't age line.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
No, that's not true.
From what I was, I saw some other things on Tumblr, and from what I can gather, it may just be an RTD thing. Because I think he was trying to do the same thing with Martha when she was on Torchwood. They meant, like, she goes into, like, she pretends to be, like, a medical guinea pig thing in one episode. And I think they discover something weird about her, like, molecular makeup bullshit.
I mean, that's weird because it's very inconsistent. I mean, Sarah Jane is clearly aging.
Yeah, Jo Grant and Sarah Jane. So that doesn't really work. But
the Time Meddler.
That's what it was. They got their time meddled. But no, because they weren't there. Because this is the first one without them.
It bummed me out the whole time.
The first one with Steven.
It's technically the second one with Steven. But the first one with him is like a full-on companion. Because he played two characters in the last serial. So anyway, let's dive into The Time Meddler!
The Time Meddler!
First episode. The Watcher!
The Watcher! Can I say really quickly, though, like, I get being bummed by, like, Ian and Barbara being gone, but I think they kind of foresaw that because this episode is so funny.
Yeah, that's true.
And so much, like, fun. Like, they were really trying hard to, like, make this episode, this story fun and make it, like, funny and, like, make the character stuff really good.
It's, the pace is pretty good.
Yeah.
Too. I don't think it ever got too slow.
I was like watching again, remembering like, this is really good. Like a couple of my notes are just like, this scene is funny. This episode is funny.
This episode is a good, it is a nice like follow up so that you're not just like, I wish Ian and Barbara were here. Although there were a couple of times where the doctor's like, here's this huge amount of obscure Earth knowledge that I have that probably would be Barbara's line if she were here. Like,
and he even mentions it at one point. Like, if Barbara was here,
she would probably say this.
Like, yeah, she would know this.
This would be her line.
That was her character's niche.
So there's a little bit of that where I'm kind of like, there was no point where it was like, sure wish Ian was here to talk to us about physics. Sorry, Ian.
Oh, if only we had Ian and his magic thumb.
If only we had Ian to declare that something was or wasn't alive.
Instead, we have Steven, who doesn't believe in anything.
Anything at all. For the longest amount of time.
He refuses to believe any of this.
Like, the ship's bigger on the inside. Nah, it's painting. The doctor's done something with the lighting in here. Just... dark walls make things look smaller. I don't know.
All right, so The Watcher.
Yes, which begins with the doctor missing Ian and Barbara.
Can I say it really quickly? The very first shot is of that clock.
Oh, yeah, the clock.
The clock?
The clock from Edge of Destruction.
That I swear we haven't seen since Edge of Destruction, which was the last podcast I did. I feel like the clock came back just for me.
Just for you. I bet that was driving at least one person crazy.
Where the hell's that damn clock?
There's someone on the set like, I'm just putting it in there. And maybe no one will say anything because we've never seen that clock since. It doesn't make any sense.
50 years from now, someone's going to be real happy that clock is there.
So why does a time machine need a clock in it?
At what time is a clock inside of a time machine even set?
Like, if you put a clock in a time machine and then time travel once, that clock's fucking useless.
Maybe it's just like internal time. Maybe it's really important to have it may be the most important to have a clock on a time machine because, you know, there's no outside time. You need to, like, you don't know how long you've done anything.
You need to know when to go to bed and how long to sleep.
Exactly. It is. Like, you don't know, like, you know, like, sometimes you could just get, like, really distracted by something, you know, like, you know, you're writing something or, like, you know, you're trying to, like, bite a nail off or whatever, and suddenly it's 4 hours later.
What? Wait, what?
You're trying to bite a nail off, like a fingernail.
I think we're, I got that. I think we're learning things about you. What the fuck is up with your fingernails?
Why are they so...
Or perhaps what is wrong with your teeth?
It's my teeth. My teeth are, very, very brittle. But I chew my fingernails anyway. I have no teeth anymore.
So you just numb your nails?
Yeah, it's just gums. That's why it takes so long.
It takes a long time. And you look up. And my point is that you look out the window and the sky is very clearly different. You can't do that with a time machine.
So you have to look at a clock.
You have to look at a clock. Unless someone, like, accidentally left a switch down, in which case that thing gets all melty.
Yeah.
That thing gets all Salvador Dali.
You have a note that just is, Vicky, they old. That's all your note says.
I don't know what it means.
I think she makes some comment about Ian and Barbara being old.
Yeah, there's a conversation about it.
The doctor's like, it is a good thing Barbara is not around to hear you say these things. Or you would have words.
Vicky is ageist.
And at one point, the doctor's, like, really mad. Was she saying, like, they were old? And he's just like, they're old? What do you think of me? And it's like, oh, you're different.
You're an alien.
Well, which is, she's not wrong. She's like, you're basically young. Which is true. He is.
And then he gets all like, do you even want to stay?
He's so pouty. He's like, first season, Ian and Barbara, what? Do you want to go? I'll drop you off.
I didn't even ask you if you wanted to stay. Please stay.
I'm so lonely.
Oh, he is though. That's the whole point. That's the thing that was driven to the ground during the RTD era. It's very, very lonely. Which means it has nothing to do with the Time Lord. The Time War. He's just always been this way.
He's just always been like, why won't anyone be my friend? I have to kidnap people and I need to get them to be around me.
And then they hear, noises, which they fear may be a Dalek. So Vicky and the doctor plan to attack said Dalek with a coat.
Because Barbara's not around to steal her sweater.
I love how, like, the doctor takes off his coat, and it just looks more like he's like, okay, I'm just gonna totally just kick this Dalek's ass. Like, here, take my coat.
That's exactly what I thought when he did it. I was like, oh, this Dalek's about to get messed up. He's being serious now.
Here, hold this.
But it's not a Dalek.
No, it's a Steven.
It's
a Steven.
Yay!
A bearded Steven.
I love Steven so much because you know what he has in his hand? It's his mascot.
Yeah.
He's still holding on to it.
I'm not sure if we ever see that mascot again. I don't remember.
It's so damn important. He went back into a building that was
starting to explode.
Yeah. And then you never see it again.
Probably. I don't remember. Maybe we do. Maybe it's like a constant companion to the companion.
It's always there. I also have a thing in my notes. And this is the thing, because I've heard you guys talk about the doctor's laugh a lot. And here's the thing I've always thought about, and I may have said this last time, but I don't remember. I don't think I did. The first doctor, like, his whole character is, like, basically the very first scene with Yoda and Empire. Like, when, like, Yoda is just, like, being all, looking for a Jedi you are. Like, that's the first doctor's whole character. It's just that. It's just, like, laughing, going,
And going through your shit.
Yeah, going through your shit, pretending like he doesn't know anything, and then just secretly being, like, a genius, but also not really.
I was gonna say, I think it's the other way around. It's pretending to know everything while secretly being like, yeah, that's totally how that works. We were in the human mind, not a haunted house.
There's a bit later where, like, he says with a very, like, a large amount of authority, this, like, sounds do that sometimes. Like, oh, it's like sounds are tricky things or something like that. It's like, yes, you're a scientist, doctor.
Sounds just do shit.
You can hear things.
Steven passes out because he's tired. The TARDIS appears, and there's a mysterious monk a peeping at it.
A peeping?
A peeping.
With his peepers?
Or a peeking. Peeping or peeking. Whichever one you'd rather,
I like that shot. It looks very like Ingmar Bergman.
Oh, it does.
This whole serial is actually really well shot, I think. It's a lot of camera movement. It's very Scorsese almost.
And I don't know if it's like a backdrop or what it is, but like that like swirling clouds thing. The sky. I don't think it's the actual sky though. I'm pretty sure it's a set, but I don't know. The background looks really cool. Like and it adds to the mood. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like when they're up on the cliff and there's like swirling clouds and stuff behind them. I don't know how they did that, but it looks cool.
I'm not sure. I mean, it looks like they filmed like outside or on location.
I don't know. Like, I don't feel like clouds move like that.
If it's windy?
Yeah, they do if it's windy.
Maybe it's real. Who knows?
I thought it was weird that you were like really impressed by it. And I was like, yeah, it's a good looking shot.
Nature's amazing.
I don't know. It just looked unreal, but cool. I don't know. Whatever. I don't know shit.
I mean, it is a good shot though. I like that shot.
Then what happens?
Then they talk to Steven, who doesn't believe anything.
He's standing in a time machine and he's just like, no, I'll give you that this is a spaceship because I believe in spaceships.
There is one moment though where I kind of agree with him because Vicky is saying like, this place is, it's bigger on the inside. And he's like, no, that's stupid. And she's like, well, you know, this is a time machine, right? And I'm like, okay, but that doesn't necessarily follow, Vicky. They didn't get into, like, the DeLorean and Back to the Future, and it was bigger on the inside. That's not a requirement for Time Machine.
Bill and Ted's phone booth is the same size on the inside as it looks to be on the outside, so...
Yeah, so there's lots of time. In fact, this is a very specific thing to this Time Machine. And another Time Machine that we might see in this episode later.
One of my favorite parts about this episode is that he spends the majority of this episode not believing that they've traveled back into time, which is what has happened. But he's like, he starts to slowly believe it by seeing like future stuff that shouldn't be there, but by all rights that shit should still be really old from his perspective.
There's a bit later when they like find a gun, and like I really love the fact that like both of them are pretty sure that that's not right. But not 100% sure.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, that's a gun. Like, there shouldn't be a gun at, like, in the, like, 1100, right?
Right.
Like, right. They didn't have guns.
Which is, you know, how I would be.
I didn't realize both of our companions are from the future. Well, future.
They're both from the future. And they both have some knowledge of the past, but not to the degree that, obviously, like, Ian and Barbara had. So they're just kind of running around like, that's out of place, right? It is, right?
Like, I'm a little surprised that Steven even knows the name of the... I don't even remember the name of it. Record player.
The gramophone?
Gramophone, yeah.
That brings me to another thing that we'll get to later on, but also, I don't know quite what the monk has been doing, but I feel like maybe, I don't know if he has some sort of limitation or what, but, like, it seems really odd that, like, he's using still really kind of shitty technology. Like,
yeah.
He has a gramophone. Why doesn't he have, like, an iPad or something? I mean, I know why he doesn't have an iPad, but why doesn't he have an iPad? It makes no sense.
Like, I was telling Joe, we were talking about Doctor Who and stuff, and I'm like, it bums me out that we can't see, like, Ian and Barbara go to the 90s. There's no reason why that can't happen.
Except that it can't happen. It's really weird when they go to the future and, like...
They're computers that take up whole rooms.
Yeah.
I have this kind of theory that the TARDIS will, like, its design will be around whoever is traveling with it. And so the Doctor just goes around after he picks up Ian and Barbara, constantly annoyed that all of, like, his newer technology is, like, gone. And that's why there's that line where Ian and Barbara say something about him having a color TV, and he's like, I have one! And they're like, well, where is it? And he's like, I can't get to it anymore because you guys are in here! It's really annoying. I can only have 50, like, the TARDIS is basing its shit off of you guys, and it's very inconvenient for me.
I'm assuming that just human history is changing all of the time.
The show is so Earth-based.
That was something that drove me a little bit crazy about this episode, is...
Why is the monk fucking with Earth history, like, just solely?
Like, he cares.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing, like, about it, too. Like, especially with the monk, I kind of, like... With the Doctor, like, especially because the Doctor now has all the Barbara lines, this is kind of the beginning of the thing that I like to think of of the Doctor as a giant Earth fanboy.
But yeah, he's spouting off all this history knowledge, and it's like, why do you know? This is just a random planet.
But like, yeah, but like, he's just really into it for some reason. Like, it's, you know, why do I know everything about Doctor Who? Like, just because I'm a fanboy of it. Like, he, like, just in the way that I know everything about Doctor Who, the Doctor just knows everything about Earth.
Maybe at some point after having Ian and Barbara on there for a while, he just starts researching it, and he's the Doctor. So after, like, you know, a couple months of it, he's just like, here's all the history knowledge that I have now.
Yeah, except he's clearly said he's met some of these people.
Maybe it's the TARDIS. Maybe the TARDIS likes Earth.
My theory was always that when he first left, like, he picked Earth sort of at random. He just kind of ended up on Earth because he was trying, and he was, like, hiding more. Because, like, clearly, an unearthly child, they're sort of hiding. My theory is that he's been hiding on Earth for a while now. And so, by now, he's already started to, like, get into it. At first, it was just sort of random. By now, he's started to get used to it. And then, like, now, and then he picked up Ian and Barbara, and they're these Earth companions or whatever. And then it just sort of became this thing that he just happened to know a lot of stuff about Earth, and he just kind of got really into it.
He just accidentally got into a fandom, like That's you his do. Thing.
But, which doesn't explain why the monk is into it.
So, maybe he's been hiding out, too. I was just gonna also say, back where, like, Vicky's trying to convince Steven what's going on, she brings back her recurring character trait of enjoying spelling things. She spelled her name in her first episode, and then this one she spells out TARDIS. Then there's a really cute line where Steven says IDBI, which is like, I don't buy it.
Because he doesn't buy anything.
He doesn't.
We briefly meet a woman who is cooking, who is my favorite.
She's so nice! I love her Isn't she so nice much.
She's great.
She's just so sweet.
Everyone else is like a non-character, but she is so nice. Like, the character work, like, for the TARDIS crew is really great, but like, the character work for like any of the villagers or whatever is just, they're non, like, characters, but she's so nice.
Like, threatens him at first, the Doctor, right? Because the Doctor's, like, in her house, because that's what he does. He shows up at a place and he rifles through things. And they're constantly shocked, the TARDIS crew, and they're like, oh, you want to know why we're in your house? I can explain. We just wanted to see what was in here. That's all. That's it. That's the whole reason.
Yeah, well, I think that's technically later, because Team TARDIS does some exploring first. It was just setting her up, that one scene. Oh, somebody sees the TARDIS, the villagers or whatever have seen the TARDIS, are coming back to say, hey, we saw a box on the shore.
They want to go get it.
Yeah.
Before tide.
But the TARDIS crew's looking around, and Vicky finds a Viking helmet and's like, see? What do you think now? And he's like, it could just be a helmet.
That looks like a toy.
Which it does. And to be fair, Vikings did not wear helmets like that. Steven is right to think that was not a thing that happened. But the Doctor is very insistent that this is real. And then he says that great line, what do you think this is, a space helmet for a cow?
That was a good line. I did enjoy that line.
Again, this is a really funny episode, this whole serial.
And then they start talking about how the TARDIS is basically broken in so many ways. It can't go anywhere on purpose, and the chameleon circuit thing is broken. And they're talking about all this while the monk is listening. Like, the Doctor is, like, throwing rocks at him unknowingly.
Yeah! He's just chucking rocks, and the monk is hitting
him. I love how, like, and the monk is hiding, like, everyone else in the First Doctor era does, by just being kind of out of the way.
Slightly out of their peripheral vision.
And it works.
There's definitely a perception filter at play there.
It's gotta be.
They just all have perception filters on.
What's that video game when the guy hides in the box and no one can see him? It's like that.
Is that a video game?
Yeah. I think it's like Metal Gear Solid or something.
I don't know. I've never played.
I didn't play Metal Gear.
I've never played it either, but I've seen references to it. Like, he pulls out a cardboard box and pulls it over him, and then no one can see him. It's a disguise.
Like that one cloak that they had in, like, The Two Towers or Return of the King, where he just, like, the elven cloak where it just turns him into a rock.
Yes, that thing. So they decide to climb up, despite Vicky's protesting, because she's a scared of heights. And then the monk checks out the TARDIS, and then he does a nice bit of acting where he's like, well, what time is it? Oh, shit. I don't have a watch. Which I think is a little nice foreshadowing, I guess.
Yeah. Because you're like, why does he have a watch? He shouldn't.
I think someone's meddling with time.
Well, at this point, the people who were watching it when it first aired didn't know it was called The Time Meddler, so they're just like, this guy's the Watcher.
Again, the last note for this episode on my notes just says, The Watcher, because it's like clearly the titular watch.
I was thinking of that joke as you said it.
He was trying to get there.
You beat me to it. God.
I beat you to that yesterday.
So then the doctor shows up to the lady's house and drinks some mead.
Yeah, after, like, at first she's like, what the hell are you doing in my house? And the doctor's like, it's kind of this, I mean, you don't see this.
Yeah, because it cuts back to the TARDIS being against the thing while the tide comes up.
But
then it comes back.
Then it comes back, and it's like, oh, you should have told me you were a traveler. Here, I cooked you food, and here's something to drink. And
we solved our differences off screen.
She's just so cute. She's the best.
I'm surprised the doctor wasn't a little bit more wary, because he could have just gotten married again.
Yeah, he should really just pay more attention.
But he is trying to use his brains in this scene, because he's like subtly trying to figure out what year it is. Instead of just asking random Alabama yokels, what year is it?
This is also the bit where he says the sound thing. I found the sound thing. Because she mentions, like, the monks singing. And you can hear it. And when the wind blows, you can hear it, like, stronger. And he's like, yes, sounds do play funny tricks sometimes.
Oh, and we also have the recording. I mean, the monks chanting, and it sounds like it skips or something. And part of me was like, is that part of the plot, or is this just, you know...
Is that part of the production value? We don't know.
Is this a clue, or just a fuck-up?
The doctor does react to it like it's a clue.
That's true, but him reacting to it might have been a fuck-up, too. Who knows?
Exactly. That also just sounds like something William Hartnell would do.
And a continuing theme of everyone in the TARDIS being paranoid. Vicky and Steven are somewhere else. I don't really remember why. That somebody's coming, and Vicky's like, let's hide, like they always do, because I don't know why. They just assume everyone's the devil.
Well, to be fair, though, they are constantly breaking into people's houses.
That's true. And stealing clothes. So many crimes of fashion.
Normally, when people see them, they're angry.
Like Tony just got at my crimes of fashion callback.
But Steven is like, why should we hide? We could talk to them and maybe figure out, like, what's going on? Vicky's like, no, that doesn't make any sense. What makes sense is hiding, and then maybe we can steal their clothes later.
But Steven's like, fuck that. Hey, what's up?
Steven is you.
Steven is me.
I'm gonna talk to it.
I'm gonna go say hi and pet it.
I'm gonna be their friend.
And then Vicky's paranoia is well founded when the guy immediately attacks Steven.
For no real good
reason. With no provocation. Getting a little wrestling match, a little tussle.
They get a fight. And then I think, like, at first Steven kind of has the upper hand. And, like, Vicky's just like, okay, come on, calm down. And then the guy starts, like, beating Steven's ass. And then Vicky's still like, okay, calm down. But, like, it's sort of like, oh, never mind. Okay, come here. You okay?
Because basically what it is it's the villagers of the, you know, village that they're at. And they're like, we don't know who you are.
You could be a Viking.
You're probably a Viking. And then there's one guy who's like, okay, they're probably not Vikings. They're probably just travelers. And there's one guy who's like, they're definitely Vikings and we should just kill them.
Those are the three villagers.
That's it. There's the woman who's adorable. There's like, the one who doesn't want to kill them is like the leader. And then there's like the one guy who's always like, well, you just want to be kind and nice to people and I want to kill them.
Is that also the dude who has the stupidest looking face when he's injured or whatever? He goes, ooh, ooh.
I think he looks a lot like Michael Palin.
Yes! He does.
And already everyone kind of looks like they're in Monty Python and the Holy Grail. So, like, it's added by the fact that this guy looks like a lot like Michael Palin. I don't know, in a like, striking beard.
His eyes are always, like, super wide.
But they decide not to kill them or keep them hostage, which was, I think, another option. They just decide to let them go, right?
Well, that's the next episode.
Oh. Well, what happens?
Well, they tussle. The guy runs away, and then that's when Steven finds the watch.
Okay, he finds the watch.
What? It's a watch. And then the doctor enters the monastery, finds the gramophone, and is like, haha, I've solved this case.
I'm so clever. Turns around,
boom, trapped. The door comes down and traps him inside the room.
Which is great, because, like, if you're going to use, you know, if there's something about what you're doing that can be discovered, you should definitely put it in a room with a trap door.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's smart. That's just smart. That's also great because, like, the Doctor is just, like, laughing so much. Again, with his Yoda laugh. Just, like, it's like...
He's pleased with himself.
Yeah, the door comes down, and the monk shows up and literally gets the last laugh.
That is the end of The Watcher. And we are now into The Meddling Monk.
What happens in The Meddling Monk, Joe?
Well, the Doc's really upset.
Oh my god, you are Steven!
I am Steven?
You just called him Doc.
Oh, I know, I did.
Yeah, Steven, like, calls him Doc right at the beginning.
There's a line where he calls him Doc, and he's like, do not call me that. And so later on he calls him Doc, and the Doctor goes, what? Or he goes, hmm? And he goes, Tur.
Part of the reason I say Doc instead of Doctor is that I make notes, and so it's like shorthand, it's quicker to just write Doc. So I'm reading my notes, and I just say Doc. Also, Marty McFly would have the worst time on the TARDIS. There's no way he could say Doctor. Maybe the Doctor knows about Doc Brown. He's like, I don't want to be compared to that guy. He can only travel through time, not space. And he's got that flashy car. Amateur.
I mean, a car can, like, drive through space, kind of. I mean, like, not much space, but yeah.
But some space.
You can still use it as a car.
But you can't drive a car to another planet.
No, that's not true. That's true, you can't.
You'd need, like, a really long road. A bridge.
Why aren't we building more bridges to other planets?
Why aren't we right? building more bridges to space?
Why can't we just build a bridge to the moon? And that way we wouldn't have to, like, send shuttles all the damn time, right?
Yeah, we could just drive right there.
Exactly, just drive to the moon.
I don't know why anyone hasn't thought of this before. It's so obvious.
We're making a lot of people look like chumps right now. Years from now, people are going to be like, remember how like that one podcast episode came out and then they build a road to the moon? Can't believe that that's what it was.
Why had we never thought of this before? So then
roads are tricky sometimes.
Then what happens?
Okay, also going to say the Doctor is not in this episode because he was on... The Doctor! God, the Doctor is on holiday this episode, so he's not in it. You just hear him because he's trapped in the room the entire time.
You hear him in a slightly different sound quality than everything else.
I'm really here!
Sounds are tricky sometimes.
Sounds are tricky sometimes. And then we have the monk catches some toast because he has a toaster.
He's a toaster! I have a whole thing about toasters. Like, when, like, toast pops out of a toaster and someone catches it, that is a signal that someone has their shit together.
That is a good signal.
Like, they're starting their day and they know what's gonna go on. Because they know when their toast is gonna... they have everything planned.
It's a bit like knowing where your towel is.
Yeah.
I just always impress it. Because normally they, like, catch their toast and then they, like, they do everything else seamlessly. But, like, catching your toast is, like, the first step to, like, I'm doing this effortlessly, like I've done it a million times. Because they know they got their shit together and they know what they're doing. Yeah. I'm just always impressed when people catch toast.
I mean, I think it's a necessity because they have an insane toaster that just shoots toast in the air. Because I've had a lot of toasters, and that's never happened. I couldn't catch toast even if I wanted to.
I wonder if maybe that was just like that era's toasters did that, because they did it on I Love Lucy too.
I thought maybe it was just one of those TV things.
Maybe it is just a TV thing.
But that means someone had to specifically build a prop to make sure the toast would fly up. And they knew that wasn't an accurate portrayal of reality. They knew they were lying to us. That's rude.
But yeah, the monk is making breakfast for the Doctor. That's nice.
And he's got like a little tray and he's got other foods on it, which we didn't see him or whether or not he caught them or made them seamlessly. We don't know.
Or if he just ordered them on Seamless. That's an app joke.
But he has a coffee pot that when the coffee's done, it just shoots out of the coffee pot.
And you have to catch it in the cup. And that's how you know they've got their shit together in life. Because if you don't have your shit together, you will get burned.
Severe coffee.
He brings the little tray of food to the Doctor, and the Doctor tells him to F off.
He throws the water in his face.
Yeah.
Through the door. Because he's not there. And he's not really there, you guys.
And the monk's like, rude? I made this lovingly myself.
And just starve, why don't you? I'm being nice.
Which the monk, by the way, is delightfully cheerful the entire time. Like, he's just happy to be there mucking stuff up.
Yeah, he's very goofy, the monk.
Even when things start to go wrong for him and his patience is kind of being tested a little bit, he's still kind of delightful.
He has the demeanor of a serial mascot. the sort of character that is in commercials for cereal. People are trying to mess him up while he's trying to eat a cereal, but he's never too mad because he's got his cereal.
He does, yeah. That's it.
And his toast.
They're always trying to take my Medalos.
Why is there so much possessiveness with cereal? Like, you got, like...
Like, there's plenty of cereal. We can all eat it.
You can't have my Lucky Charms. Rabbit, you can't have my tricks. What's up with this? There's one that used to steal cookie cereal.
Yeah, he was...
The Cookie Crisp.
Yeah, he had to steal his cereal in order to live.
One of my favorite community jokes is about that.
Is it?
One of my favorite community jokes.
Oh, I thought you said comedian jokes.
And I thought that was a little redundant.
I love comedian jokes.
I'm more for comedian tragedies myself.
That's true.
That is true.
I do like comedian I like when bad things happen to comedians.
Back to food. Meanwhile, Steven...
Back to the first tangent.
Steven and Vicky are getting breakfast as well. Steven shows up and he's like, you have a choice, blackberries or blackberries?
I love Steven so far.
Yeah, Steven's fun.
I feel like they're setting up a nice sort of brother-sister vibe with Steven and Vicky.
They're very teasy.
They're the doctor's new grandchildren.
This is the thing. Watching this serial, it made me convinced that the TARDIS needs three people. It works best, I think, when there's three people. Like, there's a lot of really great sort of TARDIS teams that are just two people, just the doctor and the companion. But I think, like, to really get the full, like, kind of character dynamic potential, you need three people. Because, again, I was watching this one thinking, a lot of the character stuff in this is really good. A lot of the character stuff in this is better than, like, 70s Doctor Who, which is sort of held up as, like, the high watermark for classic Who. Like, early Tom Baker, that's kind of, like, sort of, you know. But, like, there's a lot more, like, good character stuff in this. And I think part of that is that we have more people in the TARDIS to sort of play off of, and they can have, like, different dynamics.
Yeah, and also, I feel like it would also allow you some time for the companions to get away from the Doctor, but still have someone to talk
play
to.
Off of.
Yeah, that's not just the person of the week.
The more people on the TARDIS, the better. And that would be nice to have. I wanted a full crew.
Yeah, I would like an ensemble season. At least once.
I think it'd be great.
Has that ever happened?
I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like I can't think of a time there's ever been, like, more than four people, including the Doctor. I don't know. I mean, not for a whole, and certainly not for, like, that long.
Like, I think it would be great to just have, like, five people. Five people in the TARDIS. Or seven. Why not?
It's 12 people.
It's huge. It's a huge ship.
There's enough room.
And they can all do things.
It can be like Lost, where like sometimes these characters aren't like, it's not about them this week. Not everyone gets off the TARDIS all the time.
How many people were on Moya?
Yeah.
That was a tight-knit family, but it was, there was more than six or seven.
One of them's just like, you guys go on an adventure, I'm staying in bed and reading all day.
I'm all for this. Like I've said, if I were in charge of Doctor Who, it would look more like Farscape.
I'm for that.
We both really like that idea. Be in charge of Doctor Who.
To get back on track. This is when they get caught. Someone was dropping eaves. They get caught. It's what it says in my notes. The monk is monking? What? What the fuck does that mean, Joe?
Stellar notes.
The Doctor says something like that later, but that's in episode 3. Well, no, there's a bit where like when the Doctor, spoiler alert for later in this podcast, turns the tables on the monk, and he's like, he's got up, and he just goes like, no more monkery.
Oh, right. The monk was going to head out, and then like people came up to talk to him. He's like, ah, shit, I gotta be a monk for a little bit.
The woman showed up to give him food because she's delightful.
She is. I love her very much.
Because it's a very nice thing to do, and she's a very nice person.
Nice lady. Why did I do that?
I don't know. I could not tell you.
Okay, that cannot be cut out, though.
Fair enough. So she says something like, I know it's probably not the best. And he's like, yeah, but you know, when you're a monk, you gotta take what you can get. Like, that's fucking rude.
We're all making sacrifices. I love it. He's just like really baldly manipulating people there.
He's got a nice, setup going for him. People bring him food. He's got solitude and, respect. He's got a lot of respect for being a monk. We should just go find an abandoned monastery.
What a good idea.
We could do that. Just like go, like make beer.
People will bring us food.
We might have to like take care of some sick people.
I don't know if anyone cares about like monks anymore though.
Oh yeah, you're right.
That's why you do it now. There's no pressure.
Yeah, but if people aren't gonna like
bring us food.
Yeah, if people aren't gonna do things for me, then why bother?
I mean, like, I think people will still bring you stuff, but like they won't have expectations. Like, you ever heard of, like, decorative hermits? Okay, like, cause, like, there was, it was, like, a thing sometimes, where, like, people with, like, large estates would just, like, hire hermits to, like, live. Like, there would be, like, a hermit who would just live in a little house or whatever, somewhere on their estate, and he was the hermit that lived there, and that was just, like, his job. And he was just kind of decorative.
I would love to
be a That's my dream? What?
Yes.
Okay.
Why can't this be now?
I don't know, but it should be.
That sounds like a job that should not have died out.
Yeah.
It's not like we don't have super wealthy people anymore.
I was saying the other day that, like, someone made some post about robots taking over and we'd have to be their pets. And I was like, sign me the fuck up. I'm adorable. I would love my robot so much. And he would feed me and take care of me. Sounds good.
Well, you know what love meant, though?
Yeah, because I would teach him.
Rich people don't want hermits anymore, though. Now they just want to, like, hunt you. That's what I've gathered. They want to put you on an island, and then you gotta survive while they chase you with, like, a bow and arrow.
Yeah, that's what happens. But, you know, if you win, you get a Starbucks gift card.
I work for a Starbucks.
So we won't hunt you, then. There's no incentive.
Make it a Burger King gift card.
I remember, I swear, this is a joke I just did to someone years ago, but it's still funny to me.
Doing some time traveling of your own.
I remember, like, it was Christmas, and there was just, like, a whole rack of gift cards, and there was a Burger King gift card, and that was so amazing to me, because it never occurred to me that anyone would ever give someone a Burger King gift card. Not a gift to anyone.
I love Burger King.
Joe would love a gift card to Burger King.
Listeners, if you want to make me happy, send your Burger King gift cards to the Watchathon of Rassilon. I don't know how you would get that's not an address, but...
Just write Watchathon of Rassilon on an envelope, stick it in the mail, we're like Santa. It'll get there.
We have connections with the Dead Letters office. Okay, so anyway, he gets through with talking to the lady, and he gets his binoculars, and he goes to the cliff with the cool clouds to see what his monk eyes can see through a binocular.
Again, not like the most advanced technology.
He just pulls out one of those, like, things at the top of the Empire State Building that you gotta put a coin in. Chunk.
He's gotta go get a quarter.
I guess it's tobacco?
Oh, yeah, he pulls out what I guess is tobacco, but certainly looks an awful lot like cocaine.
I don't think you see it enough to say that it looks like cocaine.
I know cocaine, Tony, trust me.
Okay.
So the monks from the 80s, Vikings, he sees Vikings.
And he's very excited about this.
He's like, woohoo, Vikings. That's my favorite Netflix show. Wait, is that a show on Netflix?
I think it's on History Channel.
Okay, but it might also be on Netflix. I don't know. Vicky and Steven have been, you know, held up by the villagers, and they're, like, deciding what to do. And the woman comes in and comes back and is like, yo, leave these people alone. They're cool. They're all right. They're with the doctor guy. He was pretty cool. So the woman comes to say,
broke into my house, but we're buds.
We got married.
They leave to go to the monastery, and there's the most awkward, like, 3 minutes of people just staring.
Yeah. What was that?
I don't know.
Why was that scene so awkward? When the dialogue right before that is all delivered super awkwardly.
Yeah.
Like, everyone forgot how to talk all of a sudden.
Like, the thing that, like, he says to him is like, go or, like, make God be with you or something. Steven takes, like, a really long time to reply, yes. Like, he's very uncomfortable and just, like, maybe he's just very uncomfortable with the idea of God because he's from the future. And so and the other villagers are like, and he finally says it, and the other one's like, he sure took a long time to acknowledge God. Jeez. That's like how I read it. It was just like, it's a weird religious thing.
It could just be like, you know, that's a common sort of like, goodbye.
It is
goodbye. And he's just like, he's thrown by it for a second, like, oh, wait, what do I say back?
Like, do I say goodbye? Is goodbye a thing yet? Is that, it's not a thing yet.
They didn't have guns, I don't think.
And then he's just like, live long and prosper? Right? And then he throws the Vulcan hand sign up.
So then they leave to go to the monastery to meet up with a doctor.
Does the Viking show up at this point? Yeah, because I have a note that says Knights Who Say Knee. They look an awful lot like the Knights Who Say Knee. Or at least one of them does. They all have fantastic, like, hair.
They do! I like the one with the ponytail. He was my favorite.
Like, was it like a man bun? Or was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one with an eye patch who looks like Odin. Which is appropriate. Cause Vikings.
Then Stephen and Vicky show up at the monastery. Stephen has a plan.
Stephen has a plan. But
first, though, like, he has a plan because the monk says that the doctor has not been there. And Stephen, as usual, does not believe it.
I have no reason to believe that this person should be telling me the truth.
The paranoia has rubbed off.
So in order to kind of trick the monk, he says, he's talking to him and he says, so do you remember that description I gave you of the doctor, just in case, you know, you see him? And he says, yeah, he repeats.
He says what the doctor looks like.
Closes the door. And Vicky's like, well, I don't see how that helped us.
Because I didn't say what he looked like, Vicky. God, is everyone here stupid?
That's it. That's basically the scene.
Like, they have the conversation. Steven assumes that she's going to be on the uptake because he makes a point of telling her, don't say anything. Like, you're going to figure out what's going on, but don't say anything. And then they do it, and then she's like, wait a minute. We didn't tell him what he looked like at all.
What could he do?
But then she's immediately, like, it's like, oh, so we know, like, and he doesn't know that we know. And then Vicky is immediately like, well, I don't know, that was too easy. I'm like, shut up, you didn't know what was going on a second ago.
What if she tricked us? What if he knows that we know?
You know, and then fired one shot, two shots, one shot.
One plus one plus two plus one.
Back at the village, Odin grabs our favorite character, the lady.
Whose name we didn't bother to remember. We love her,
Edith.
We don't know her.
Her name is Edith.
Edith. Okay.
He grabs Edith and then,
something bad happens, I think?
They come back and she's like, not moving, and I was like, oh, she's dead. That's not cool.
Yeah,
but
we were
pissed.
But
she's not dead.
She's okay. So she's... I think something bad just happened to her.
I don't want to know what happened.
I don't know either, because I remember, like, watching this, and then she died. Like, well, she's, like, motionless. I'm like, oh, shit, they killed her. That sucks. I liked her. And then I'm like, wait a minute. I've seen this before, and I remember this her not being dead. So what is going on?
Yeah, because, like, it's in the same scene. Like, towards the end of the scene, she, like, says something, because they're, like, start asking her who the attacker was, and she's like, Vikings. I'm like, whoa, you're dead.
You can't say words.
She was just traumatized somehow. I don't want to theorize on that.
Can I say that never occurred to me at all?
Oh.
Really?
Vikings, man.
I know, like, but, I mean, it never occurred to me that that was a thing that they would do on this show.
Why?
Yeah, they have.
That's right, they have.
They've done it for serious and for laughs.
Yeah, they've done it as comedy.
That is very true.
The villagers are like, we're going to attack the Vikings.
Because fuck those guys. They're rude.
The monk is like tooling around in the monastery, and then Stephen and Vicky pop up in a window.
They sneak in.
Very sneaky-like.
Stephen's like, follow me! And he heads left, and Vicky heads right.
They both say follow
me. They both say follow me.
They both say follow me, and one goes one way and one goes the other. And Stephen just kind of looks up and goes, fine. And follows Vicky. And I was like, damn right, Stephen. You know what's up.
But I think that the monk is onto them because he's listening at the door because they're very fucking loud.
Yeah.
And he's setting up his gramophone trap again. He's like, he.
He's also very pleased with himself. Must be a Time Lord trait. Spoilers.
That's the first clue.
But Vicky and Steven find the room. And...
Which I don't know how they assume the doctor's in there.
Yeah, that's a weird thing. They're like, well, his coat is on it. They see his coat.
They see his coat. And so they think that it's him. And so they...
Wait, is this after they've been in and out of the trap already? Because the monk got distracted because the villagers were coming. They were bringing the injured guy.
Yeah, so in the meantime, the Vikings and the villagers have a skirmish.
A very unconvincing looking skirmish.
And one of the villagers gets injured. And he says, well, it's too far to go back to the village. We'll take you to the monastery. Which you're like, great. This is going to be great. So yeah, there's all sorts of shenanigans going on.
The monk doesn't get to trap him because he's dealing with the
villagers.
He's
getting ready to trap him and there's like a knock at the door and he's like, oh god damn. Why do people keep coming here? I'm trying to do things. So yeah, he has to leave to answer the door and he's like, can you take care of this guy? He's dying. And he's like, no. Take him back to the, he'll be fine. Take him back to the village. And he's like, but he's dying though. You're like a man of God. So like, fix him. And he's like, fine, bring him in. Kind of doing a thing, but okay. Like, he still takes care of this guy, which I think is kind of great.
Well, he doesn't want to blow his cover.
No, but he has some line about, he's like, he, you know, he's tired, and he's like, yeah, he lost a shit ton of blood. He's like, if I could do a blood transfusion, that would be great. And the guy goes, a what? Said nothing.
It's a Catholic thing.
and like, he gives him some medicine, and he's like, it's penicillin. What? It's an herb. He's not very good at not blowing his cover.
So yeah, that's why they go in the trap and they get back out and then they go into the cell. But yeah, it was weird because they're like, the doctor's gone, because they see his coat, but he's not in there. It's just his coat. I'm like, maybe the doctor just left his coat. You don't know that the doctor was there.
Yeah. That's such a weird cliffhanger. It's like, you don't know that the doctor was ever there.
Maybe he like dropped his coat and the monk picked it up. Like,
that's the cliffhanger for the meddling monk.
The meddling monk.
And we're now on to episode 3, A Battle of Wits. The doctor escaped? Question mark. So they're like, there must be secret passages in the cell. Cause you'd put one in a cell,
in
right?
In a holding cell. Which Stephen basically is like,
I don't believe it.
Why would there be a secret passage? That doesn't make sense. And Vicky's like, there's been one in pretty much every episode I've been in so far. So it just seems logical at this point. Sometimes you just stand next to one and it flips you around. And you don't even know you were standing next to one. Happens all the time.
And to continue the clue theme, there's got to be secret passages. Yeah. Right? And yes, there is one. They find one.
It looks kind of like a door.
It does. And Steven's a little bit impressed by it, too.
It's like, maybe these people know what they're up to.
And then the doctor is back at the village talking to the woman about Viking raids and such.
And the woman's like, you just missed your friends. I don't even know how you could have. And he's like, I went out the back way. I went out a secret tunnel. But the doctor basically warns her, because the doctor knows. He's like, yeah, there's about to be a pretty big battle thing.
But so-and-so's gonna win. And...
yeah.
For, like, someone who's about to get very angry about messing with history, he's just, like, tossing shit out. It's like, yeah, oh, yeah, they're gonna come. It's gonna be a whole thing.
He doesn't want her to worry because she's so sweet.
Also, I don't know why this is the thing that stuck with me, but, like, at one point she's just like, it was like, oh, hi, doctor, you're here. You want some venison? Just sometime in my life, for just a portion of my life, I want to be the sort of person that offers venison to guests. Hey, oh, it's good to see you. Welcome to our home. You want some venison?
What is venison?
Isn't it deer?
It's deer.
Yeah.
I've had some.
It's good.
I didn't know.
Deer's good.
What?
I'm in the South. Of course I've had deer.
I've never had deer.
My grandfather used to hunt deer because he liked to eat deer. He never got a single deer until he hit one with his truck. That deer was delicious.
Is that legal?
To what? Hit a, I don't know.
To hit deer with your truck?
Like, do you have to have a hunting license to keep the deer?
Well, I mean, what else would you do? I mean, like...
he has a license for the truck. Well, okay, here's the thing. You hit the deer's not good. The deer was dead. You just gonna let that go to waste?
Well, no.
Whether or not you have a license?
I mean, like, yeah, he wasn't hunting the deer. It was an accident.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. So are you fine? Like, if you didn't have a hunting license, would you be like, well, I'm still gonna eat it.
Well, like,
it's dead.
If a deer...
Or would someone be like, you don't have a hunting license, you have to just leave it there. Like,
well, if like a deer like ran into your house and you had to kill it out of self-defense, I'm pretty sure you could eat it. I'm sure they're not going to be like, you got to leave it in the house. You can't eat it.
I had to eat this deer because of stand your ground.
If a deer, Jesus, if a deer jumps into your mouth, you have to like, you can't eat it.
You can't eat it unless you have a hunting license.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, yeah, I mean, if,
then
if,
you're fine.
If there's a dead deer,
but if it's out of season,
you can't hunt it. That's the thing, right? Like you,
okay, but what's to stop someone from just dropping their They're like, I just accidentally ran into like 7 deer.
Because hitting a deer with your vehicle is not good for your vehicle.
Also, it'd be very hard to do that in like the woods.
You could probably do it near where we live. We see deer crossing the road all the time. We're just surrounded by Bambis. Then we have the scene with the monk being the doctor. Where he's it's the doctor. Okay, moving on, because he does doctor-y thing.
Yeah,
okay.
No, yeah.
Yeah, I got it.
We followed, yeah.
And he's just really annoyed at his inconvenient guest. The Vikings get in their own sort of, like, fight, and one of them picks up a rock and is going to attack the other Viking with it. What is with people wanting to hit people with rocks?
It never works out.
I guess they're, like, the only two Vikings left, and they're like,
Well, it's not that they're the only two left. It's that these were...
of that party.
Yeah, well, they sent out, like, just a couple of scouts. And it's like, try not to let anyone see you. But if they do, fight them. And basically, they're outnumbered. And so one of them's like, look, I'm not going to fight him again. Our guys are already on their way. We don't really have that much, you know, any valuable information for them. Let's just go hide. And the other one's like, you're a coward, so I'm going to hit you with a rock. But then ultimately, he's like, yeah, okay, let's just go hide.
And where are we going to hide? The monastery.
Which is excellent.
Pieces are falling into place, you guys.
Have we done the list yet? When does that happen? That
is the list right is coming now.
Yes!
This is the list.
The list is amazing.
This is my favorite thing about this entire serial.
The progress chart.
We come back to the monastery, and the monk, he does, he has a large progress chart hanging from the wall. And it's just a numbered list with the things that have been done checked off.
And he's gonna like blow up the Vikings with an atomic cannon.
But it's like, it's like, you know, get to the right time, set up inconspicuously, set up giant gun, blow up Viking fleet, meet King
Harold.
Yeah, meet King Harold.
Get the Roadrunner.
It is. It's just like insane why, like, I'm not sure who this list is for. Did he make it for himself?
You gotta stay on task, man. Meet King Harold. That was like the last one. Like, is this all an elaborate plan
to meet King Harold? That's the ultimate goal.
He's arranging a meet-cute through time travel.
I wish all, like, you know, villains just had, like, here's my evil plan, steps 1 through 8. I like to keep it taped to my bedroom wall so I always stay on track.
So that the good guys can conveniently find this giant chart.
Which they do. Vicky and Steven, like, pull it up and they're like, what do you think this is about? I don't know. Can't decipher it. Too complicated for me. No, I mean, they look at it and they're like, why would he want to do this?
So he's looking at his chart, and then there's a knock at the door, and he goes to answer it, and there's nobody there. Phantom knocking. And then he shuts the door, and there's knocking immediately again. He's like, what the fuck is going on? I'm the meddler.
Right. I'm supposed to mess with other people. That's how this goes.
The doctor's around the corner with a giant stick that he sticks in the monk's back. He's like, this is a stick-up.
This is totally a gun. Don't look back here. Don't turn around. Just believe me that it's a gun, and do what I say. Which he does for way too long.
He really does. Like, he buys it. The doctor at this point has gotten really good at bluffing. Watching the serial again just, like, made me re-fall in love with the first doctor.
I love the first doctor so much. We were talking about Ian and Barbara, and Joe was like, now that they're gone, it makes me wonder what you're going to do when we lose one. And I was like, no, what do you mean? He's gonna be the doctor forever, right?
For 50 years.
For 50 years he's the doctor.
He's still the doctor right now.
Like, I couldn't...
They Orville Redenbacher'd him. He's now played by Norm Macdonald.
Stop! He's become one of my favorite doctors at this point, and I'm going to be just bummed to see him go. Like, we were watching stuff with your parents. We were watching some older episodes of Doctor Who. We were watching some 10. And it was weird watching it. 10's been my doctor for so long. And it was weird watching it and being like, eh. Like, he's good, but he's no Hartnell.
So you'd pick Hartnell over Tennant?
No, I mean, I don't think I'd pick. It was just,
to be
he
fair,
wasn't, it was weird watching it and being like, he's not, he doesn't define the doctor for me anymore.
I'm sort of at that point with, like, Tennant now.
I mean, even having watched most of 11's run, and I love 11, 10 was still kind of like, well, it's, you know, your first, and, I mean, I started with 9, but...
10 does leave a bit of a stronger impression.
Right, well, he's around for longer. He has more time to do that, but... Yeah, for the first time, it was kind of like, it's, the character is more vast than that to me. But I will be bummed when Hartnell goes.
Way to bring us all down.
It'll be sad.
But right now, wee!
But right now, yay!
You're gonna say that until we get to all those missing serials.
Yeah, that's gonna suck.
Plus, Troughton's really good too. I love Troughton.
That is the good thing. Like, as much as you're gonna be like, ugh, this person's gonna go and it's gonna suck. But it's like, there's so much to get to.
Now that you say it, the monk seems kind of Troughton-y a little bit.
Yeah, I was thinking that too when I was watching it. I was like, he's got kind of a Patrick Troughton vibe going on.
Part of it's that the faces he makes are kind of similar. Does that sort of like frowny, it's like cheerful frowning almost.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. He does. They're very similar.
It reminds me a lot of, the monk reminds me a lot of this French actor. I think his name's Dominique Pignon, if anybody knows
who that is.
You're
looking at me like I'm going to go, yeah!
He's in Delicatessen. He's in City of Lost Children. He's in Amelie. He's in Alien Resurrection. Alien Resurrection. Anybody know who I'm talking about?
I don't.
He does that same sort of, like, frowny face.
I know the frowny face, though.
Hey, Joe, then what happens?
Okay, so Vicky and Steven find the cliff and see that the TARDIS is gone. The tide has come in.
Which, it's kind of sad, because there's a moment where Vicky...
It's like, you don't know what this means.
Yeah, Steven says, well, if it was unsafe to leave it on the beach, then the doctor probably just moved it. And Vicky's like, if he moved it, he didn't just... You can't just move it, like, farther up the beach. If he moved it, he's gone. And there's, like, a moment there where she thinks that maybe he left.
It's a really great scene.
Yeah, because she's like, you don't understand. You don't know what the TARDIS means.
And it's well set up, too, because they set it up earlier... Like in a joking way where she's explaining, like, we don't know where we're going.
She's like, no, you won't understand. We really don't.
She's been left before too.
Yeah.
She was left in the last serial.
So now she's kind of worried about it, I guess. It's not like it's something the doctor wouldn't do, leave someone on a planet without letting them make their own choices.
Like, that's kind of how Vicky got there.
But meanwhile, the TARDIS may be gone, but they found the atomic cannon.
Which they're pretty sure shouldn't be there.
My note says misleading leads to misleading, which took me forever to figure out what that meant.
Maybe you should try to be less clever in your notes.
Consider they're just for you.
Or just stop trying to be clever.
So the doctor is misleading the monk by putting the stick in his back, and the monk is misleading the doctor by going nowhere in the monastery, by leading him nowhere. They get turned around. The monk sees that the doctor doesn't even have a gun. He just got a big old stick. But the doctor's like, still, I can hit you with a stick.
Yeah, he's like, I could still mess you up pretty bad. And the monk's like, fair enough. Then, I don't even understand how this happens. The Vikings show up, there's another knock at the door. And they, like, can't figure out what to do. It's like, well, you gotta go let me answer the door. They're gonna get suspicious if I don't answer the door. And it's like, no, you just wanna answer the door. And somehow, the monk convinces the doctor to also dress up as a monk. And in the time it takes him to get changed into this different set of clothes, he never loses the upper hand. He still has the, like, stick to his back after having changed.
Because the doctor is very skilled at fashion.
Nope.
As nope. I previously established. No. He's good at quick changes. Cause he changes into other people. You see?
Anyway.
It's not always that quick.
No, sometimes it takes forever.
Sometimes it's too god-awful long.
It takes him so long he has time to visit every fucking companion that he's ever had.
You're very, fucking today.
I'm very fucking.
I'm trying not to be. I remember listening to the podcast that I recorded last time, and I'm just swearing every other sentence.
Did you swear on that adult, Phil? Because it's from How to Grow the Fuck Up, so it feel like you have to.
Yeah, it's fine to swear on that.
Oh, I was really confused for a second, because I thought you said, did you swear on that adult film? You swear on that adult film? I was like, no. It's, you know, it's just the atmosphere. Everyone's very polite and proper on adult film sets.
So you just said, do me.
If you'd like. If you would.
If you please.
I'd watch that.
Polite porn?
Yeah, that'd be excellent. Excuse me, but I'm going to kiss you now, if you'd like. That's how it starts.
Anyway, where were we? God.
Anyway, the Vikings show up, and the doctor's dressed like a monk.
And they go to answer the door, and it doesn't matter. None of this matters. None of the, like, well, you answer the door, I'll answer the door, because the Vikings just... beat up both of them. Basically.
Well, they take the stick away from the doctor.
So he's powerless now.
But he's not, though, because he gets the upper hand relatively quickly.
Well, yeah, because they split up.
And they put him back into that same cell that he already knows has a trap door.
But while they get split up, the monk hits his Viking over the head with a thing.
With, like a piece of, like, plywood that breaks instantly.
And then Vicky and Steven are retracing their steps to get back to the monastery. The Viking's like, oh no, he's disappeared from the cell. And you're like, yeah, of course, he went through the secret passage, because the guy sees the secret passage open. He rushes into the cell, but no, the doctor is hiding behind the door and hits the Viking over the head. So Time Lords are very similar with their attack methods.
And then, like, he knocks him out and then, like, totally does, like, a James Bond quip, too. He's just like, he knocks him out and he's like, my dear man, you had me worried. I thought you were never coming again.
I have to say that is a nice little mislead because I was like, yeah, the doctor just escaped.
Yeah, well, yeah, well, he wouldn't stay in there.
He steals his sword and starts threatening the monk with a sword. The doctor is very action hero.
That's another moment where, like, the doctor has a sword to the monk's neck and he's kind of, like, just giggling about it. Like, ha, oh, you got me. All right. I'll keep doing what you got me. You're good. He's still just happy to be there.
Vicky and Steven show up in the cell and see the Viking and they're like, should we do that? Let's just leave that there. And then just walk out. Like, nothing to see here, I guess. Moving on. Is the doctor going to the TARDIS first? Or
no, they do. They go first.
They find it's a...
It's like a big sarcophagus.
And Vicky realizes that there are doors on one side of it. Because it's not very tall. So you have to, like, crawl through. And they crawl through the doors. And they are standing inside a TARDIS.
And that is the cliffhanger.
Which, I have to say, I knew this. Like, I knew about the meddling monk. He's a big-ish character in the Ten Doctors comic that I've read. Like, I know he's a Time Lord. I knew all this going into it. And yet, like, when that scene happened, they climb into it, and it's a TARDIS, I went, it's another TARDIS!
Like, that is one of the coolest cliffhangers in Classic Who. I'm just, like, trying to imagine being someone in 1965. The idea that there could be another TARDIS, like, just isn't a thing. Like, just being kind of completely blind, there's no Gallifrey yet, there's no Time Lords, plural, he hasn't even called himself a Time Lord, like, none of this stuff exists yet. All we know is that there is this guy, he's from another planet maybe, and he's got a time machine that is bigger on the inside. Just like, imagine just like what a massive cliffhanger that is, that they just, there's another one.
Yeah. I mean, I knew all of this stuff and I was still like, there's two of them!
It's really effective.
Yeah, it's great.
I still have problems with how the doors work.
It's not like a fucking, in that one at least, there was definitely like some sort of like, lobby, or not lobby, or like a foyer. Like, so there's doors and there's, you know, like, the TARDIS in this case does not, the doors don't open into the control room. There's like a foyer, then there's the control room.
Or there's like just doors on the outside of the doors.
But yeah, because the doors open in and out.
Yeah, the sarcophagus doors open out, but the TARDIS doors open inwards.
Like, yeah, you can see them crawling.
And there's a big wall.
Yeah, with just the hole where they climb.
To get into the control room, you still have to crawl, because there's a... hurt my head.
And it doesn't bother me as much with this one, because maybe there's just like an exterior shell thing. It bothers me a lot with the Doctor's TARDIS, because the doors look complete... Yeah, the TARDIS doors on the exterior
are supposed
to be the same doors in the interior, but they look different. Like, one of them has the circles on it, and one of them has the wood on it.
But they're not the same doors.
Well, they are!
They're two different doors.
They're not two different doors. They open the same way, and like, when they open up, and the, like, Ian or Barbara or whoever walks by it, then it cuts to inside the TARDIS, and they're walking by that door, and it's a different door! It's a, okay.
Because it's in a different dimension. It can't be the same door.
But, at what point does their vision go all wibbly wobbly? Like, is it like, you know, when you like see one of those 3D-ish or those pictures that like change when you like move around? Is it like that? You like wobble, if you like stood in the doorway and wobble back and forth?
Yeah, no, I think it's kind of like when you cross your eyes and you can see like one thing or the other. You know what I'm talking about? I think it's like that.
Okay.
Like you could kind of see one dimension or the other if you focused.
I like how they eventually just got rid of that though. Like, clearly this is bugging someone. Because in New Who, that is not a thing.
Yeah, the doors are the same on both sides.
I'm okay with that.
But there's like later episodes of Doctor Who where there's like TARDISes that are just like a stone pillar and it just shows like somebody walking out from the side of it and you're like, how?
Where's the door? It's like back there.
It's just back on the other side of it.
Well, this sarcophagus apparently has doors.
Yeah.
What's
so
the same
probably, yeah.
Maybe it's a secret door. Anyway, that was the end of A Battle of Wits, and we're now into the final episode, Checkmate. So the monk decides to tell the doctor all of his evil plans,
I mean, he's not a secretive person. He has them all. He keeps them wallpapered around his living places. So,
frankly, he's showing restraint, not showing him the chart.
What exactly is his plan again? Is to change?
He wants to change time to make it better. He's like, I'm gonna defeat the Vikings because I don't remember all the historical stuff.
He's super into King Harald.
He wants to help King Harald.
He's like, no, he's clearly got like a weird thing about King Harald where he's like saying like, King Harald would be a better king. And he really wants to meet King Harald.
And he wants to give him all this. He's like, I could have them building airplanes by whatever year.
I think he said the 1400s or something.
The 1400s. And the doctor's like, you can't do that, man! There's like rules!
Of time!
Yeah.
Space!
We watched it and I was like, he's so young.
No Time Lord Victorious here.
Or just like anything that Eleven does.
He's still like, oh, we gotta do what Mom says. And Mom says no cussing in the house. And then he becomes Eleven and it's just fuck every other word. And it's like, what happened?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the 11th Doctor.
No, that would be more the 12th Doctor, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That's what everybody was theorizing. But we inside the Monk's TARDIS, we see his collection of trinkets that he's picked up.
All from Earth.
Because Earth history is the most important history.
Exactly.
Both the Monk and the Doctor are super invested in Earth history.
Like, I think we're supposed to be a little like, oh, he's got all this, he's stolen all this stuff, but like, Ian and everybody else did right. It all the damn time. But like, and then to further the companion's like lack of respecting people's privacy, Vicky gets the Monk's diary and's like, let's dig into this.
Steven's like, oh, what is that? And she's like, it's this dude's diary. And he makes a face where he's like, what? Okay, well, you've already started it, so tell me what's up.
I am Tom Marvolo Riddle. That should not have gotten a laugh.
I don't care.
I didn't laugh.
Did they learn anything from the diary? I don't even know.
It's kind of like a logbook where he tried to give Da Vinci airplanes.
Was there a mention of Stonehenge?
No, he says it later.
It's a conversation between him and the doctor, and he's like, you can't be messing around in these people's timelines. It's messed up. Don't do it. And he's like, I've done it. Stonehenge was built with my anti-gravity shit.
Incidentally, you guys just finished Series 5. So does that mean that he built all that shit under there?
Oh.
That's a good question. Yes.
Did he put the Pandorica there?
I mean, he's got reason to.
What if he was behind all that shit?
He very well could have been.
He was all meddling.
Meddling with time.
I mean, he's got reason to not be a huge fan of the Doctor.
So, okay, I'm going to ask you real quick, since you're more of a classic Whovian. Does the meddling Monk come back?
Yes, he comes back one more time in Classic Who. Yeah, he comes back one more time in Classic Who. I forget if it's like a reveal, so I'm not going to say which one he's in. But he does come back one more time in Classic Who. He also comes back, and I don't know, talk about this again. He comes back in Big Finish. Everyone comes back in Big Finish. Like, every single person who was ever on Classic Who comes back in Big Finish. Like, even though it just happens once, he's like the first recurring villain in Doctor Who history, other than the Daleks, I guess. So the second, but like, they're a monster, like, he's a guy. Yeah, the Daleks are like a group, they have like, you know, they have a basic agenda, but like, you know, well, even they're like a group, it's not like Davros or something, it's not like one guy who has a personal relationship with the Doctor.
But did they learn anything from the diary? Or were they just being...
They're just being snoopy.
Evasive for no reason.
He's just nosy.
The blood loss guy, I guess, is doing okay enough to see that there's Vikings and goes to warn the villagers. And then the Doctor and the Monk enter TARDIS 2. And then Vicky's like, Doctor, our TARDIS is gone because of the tide. And
She's freaking out. And he's like, oh, that's it? It's gonna be there. No worries. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's, like, not a thing.
But then, like, as the Monk and the Doctor just start, like, comparing dick sizes, their TARDISes, what is it that leads to the, like, just pisses the Doctor off with, like, one line? Well, I don't know. Because he's like, I've got this Mach 4 and this and this, and what's yours? And da 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 da. And then, like, he says something like, why doesn't yours do that or whatever?
Is it the chameleon circuit? Well, that's not what it's called.
Yeah. He mentions the chameleon circuit. He mentions, like, he's asking him why his TARDIS looks like a modern police box.
And the doctor's like, mind your own business.
That's what he says, yeah. He gets all grumpy. It's broken, I don't know how to fix it, that's why.
But yeah, it's modern.
It's modern, like binoculars and a gramophone.
Had a wristwatch.
Maybe that's when the monk is from, I don't know. There's a lot, I've written down a note that just says, I do know the medium.
Yeah.
Yeah. He talks about TV.
He talks about imagine Shakespeare broadcasting Hamlet on TV. And the doctor giggles and goes, yes, I do know the medium. I've heard of TV. It's delightful.
Just like everything short of just like turning to the camera and winking.
We've already had Shakespeare on TV.
Sounds are tricky like that.
The villagers mob up. I don't know where we're at.
There's at some point where the monk tells the villagers to light fires.
Oh, that was earlier. That's way earlier.
Yeah, that's way earlier. Fires.
Yeah, the set beacon fires and then he's like, oh wait, it's a Viking spy. Potentially. He's probably trying to signal the Vikings.
Right. This is when the villagers decide that and are going to the monastery.
Was that when he was asking about the fires? I don't know why, I'm just remembering this now. But it was something, it's just me, I don't know why it was so funny to me. But there's one scene where like someone goes up to like the head villager and Edith, like to just ask him questions. And like the head villager comes out and he's just not wearing a shirt.
Yeah!
And it just looks like an episode of Cops.
Cops 1066.
It's very distracting because he just comes out, like, he doesn't look like medieval anymore. Yeah, it doesn't look medieval anymore. He just looks like a guy.
Well, he kind of like stumbles out too. Like, I guess it was like the middle of the night or early morning or something.
Yeah.
But he like kind of like stumbles out and is like, what was it?
He's had a hard night of drinking mead. And somehow the monk gets the upper hand because he ties up everybody, right?
Well, they're in his TARDIS.
Another tied up, and Steven's trying to get out of his restraints. But then he has this talk about time travel with Vicky, because he's like, I don't know much about his history, but I do know that, you know, this is what happened for this specific time period.
I don't know much about history.
And Tony and I are both like, you know more than us.
But I know about the specific battle and dates and times and things that happened.
Well, like Hastings is like a pretty huge battle. Especially, like, I think this is also a thing of just being the fact that this is a British show. So, like, Battle of Hastings would be, like, very, like, middle school history. It would be, you know, like, it's one of those things that is like a, like, I don't know, it'd be like, you know, American Revolution.
I've, like, heard of it, but I couldn't give you any details.
Would that be the same thing for the Mary Celeste? Because Tony and I had no idea what the Mary Celeste was.
No, I just think we don't know things. I just think we don't.
Yeah, we don't know anything. But the person who was, because one of our patrons watched the video of us watching the chase and was like, you don't know what the Mary Celeste is? And we're like, no. But I think she's British, so maybe.
I mean, I've heard of that.
Yeah, I think it's just us.
We're just stupid.
We just don't know. We didn't pay attention.
We don't know much about history.
But now you do. Like, this show is doing what's original, stated, intended purpose.
Yeah, but now my version of it has an atomic cannon in it and a ridiculous progress chart.
Who's to say that didn't happen?
Oh, but wait, should we talk a little more about what Steven and Vicky were talking about time and stuff?
He's kind of like, okay, maybe you can time travel. And Vicky's like, yeah, told you.
And he's just sort of, all of this sort of stuff is dawning on him. He's like, oh, maybe you can change time and blah, 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 and all that stuff.
And the doctor's like, no, absolutely cannot change it.
And
he's like, well, then what's the point? He seems very squicked by the, like, ethical implications of being able to travel through time but not change anything.
I don't know if that's, like, some amazing foreshadowing, but it's some amazing foreshadowing. not to spoil you or anything, but we all know that, you know, Steven's not going to be around forever.
What?
But this kind of ties in with his last episode, just saying. So there's that. Anyway, moving on. The villagers chase the monk in a very Scooby-Doo-esque scene. And then the doctor, I guess they do get out, get free. And the doctor's like, I must write a note.
It's a delightful, if anticlimactic, ending.
Well, and they get out and he pulls something out of the second TARDIS. It's a very delicate process.
He pulls up like the dimensional stabilizer or something,
which makes the inside just as small as the outside, so he can't get back in because it's too small.
My last note, I remember, tiny TARDIS, it's smaller on the inside.
I think it would be great if he just made himself small and had tiny adventures. He's just a tiny person in a tiny TARDIS. And everything's too big.
Is that a plug?
Yeah.
Is that a plug? Is this like, is this time for plugs? Yeah.
Should sneaky cross promotion.
Do we have a plugs theme?
We need a theme for plugs, and we need a theme for Joe Facts.
Joe Facts.
Joe Facts.
This has been another Joe
Facts. We should have Joe Facts, and we should have Ben Patton Facts, because Ben Patton has facts too, but they're made up.
But they're all made up. None of them are real.
So yeah, that's, he's pretty much like, curse you, doctor. And
that's the end.
That's pretty much the end of the episode. The TARDIS crew returns to the TARDIS and bolts. And then we have the ending where all of a sudden their faces show up gigantically.
Yes.
Yeah, that was new.
At first I was like, what the fuck is that? It scared me a little. It's like, what is that? But then I realized, oh, this is the finale.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the finale of the season.
Like, I feel like they mistimed things. Like, season one probably should have ended with losing Susan.
Right.
And season two should end with losing Barbara and Ian, but it's always like a couple episodes off.
Yeah, that's a weird thing. Like, it's the same thing with, like, I've noticed with regenerations too. They never, like, do a regeneration, like, at the end of the season. So it's like, there's a regeneration and there's one more.
Yeah, cause that happens with two. I'm pretty sure there's, like, one or two episodes of two before the season ends.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's in the middle of season one. The middle of that season. Where one regenerates into two. But I think the only time that it's like a hard stop would be like 2 to 3. And that's just because like, it was like a complete overhaul of the production.
Is that when it goes from black and white to color?
Yeah, none of two is in color. All of three is in color. Yeah, it's a very hard line from 2 to 3. I don't know if there's a complete personnel turnaround, like a script editor and like exec producer change or anything like that. But like, it's complete. You know, hard left. It's in color. He's on Earth. It's a whole thing.
Let's do our final thoughts on this serial as a whole. Final thoughts! That's this segment.
We need another theme song.
We need the final thoughts theme.
Final thoughts! Final thoughts theme! Yeah!
That's a placeholder.
Send in your versions of it, and we'll pick the best one.
And Plugs theme?
Well, I don't know. Plugs is a Comedy Bang Bang thing, right? I don't wanna steal something from.
We can't steal that. So, like, final thoughts theme.
Final thoughts theme, maybe a Joe Facts theme.
Comedy Bang Bang has a Hollywood Facts theme too.
Oh, does it? I'm only like 30 or 40 episodes in the Comedy Bang Bang. But Tony, let's start with you. What are your final thoughts?
Final thoughts!
Never mind, don't send anything in, that's it. What are your final thoughts on the Time Meddler?
It's great. It's a fantastic serial. It's good that there's a lot going on and that it's so much fun, or else I would spend a lot of time missing Barbara and Ian. I miss them so much. I don't know, yeah, I really liked the humor in it. I already really love Steven. I like his dynamic with Vicky. I like him being pretty unimpressed with everything. He seems like he's going to be fun.
I enjoyed it as well. Is this like one of the first historicals with sort of...
With sci-fi?
Yeah, with sci-fi in it.
Yeah, it is. I was reading a thing about this on like Wikipedia or something, and they called it the first pseudo-historical. Like, yeah, the first historical that's actually a sci-fi story.
Because the villain is not... If the villain is like a time traveler or not necessarily an alien, but you know, something.
But yeah, I mean, he is an alien.
He is an alien.
Oh yeah. 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 I guess you're right.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, it's the first of what would eventually become the standard Doctor Who staple of
we're in the past, but the bad guy's an alien.
Yeah. Something's going wrong. They're an alien.
I'm kind of excited that that's become the mainstay.
Yeah. I get bored with that.
Like, I like Vincent and the Doctor a lot. I actually feel like it would have been a lot better without the monster in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like, no, like, the monster, and I remember, like, the monster was, like, a BBC mandate. The reason that that works is just because, like, and I've talked about this before a lot of times, about, like, the reason Vincent and the Doctor works is that they make the defeat of the monster very much not the climax of the story. That episode has a decent amount of time that goes on after the monster's gone, and it's clear, like, the monster is, like, the B-plot.
And it's one of the best episodes of Doctor Who ever. I think I can fairly say that.
No, yeah, no, it's fine. It's a top 10 for me of, like, the 50 years.
But that being said, I mean, I enjoyed this episode. I'm not saying I didn't. It's not loosely connected to the plot. It is...
At this point, it's
It's new.
Yeah, it's an interesting development.
And also you're like, oh my god, there's another time traveler and another TARDIS and...
What does that mean and how many of them are there? Are they mass produced?
Yeah, is it like you can just go to your local time travel hut and buy a TARDIS? Like...
Right. I like how it's always very consistent of like, this is the first other Time Lord. His time machine works. And he can take it where he wants to take it. So it's pretty early on.
He souped it up.
Yeah. So it's pretty well established that the Doctor just doesn't know what he's doing.
It's actually our third time machine.
It's not the TARDIS. It's just the Doctor.
No, yeah. And I like that. I like that that's like one of his arcs over 50 years. It's just been, he's gotten really good at it, but it took him a long time.
Still leaves the brakes on.
But yeah. Overall, I liked it a lot. I love Steven. I love Steven my first go around, and like him and Vicky are adorable and cute, and the monk is adorable and cute, even if he is the bad guy. Oh, and mad props to Edith. I love Edith.
Mad props to Edith. I know this is not how you name these episodes, but if you could name this episode Mad Props to Edith, I would be happy.
All right, and what is Cherry's final thoughts?
Cherry's final thoughts. I've watched a lot of Classic Who, and like some of it does drag. Like sometimes I like it despite it being Classic Who, or like, you know, like I like because it's got the pacing and yada yada yada, whatever. But like this episode is so good, and I watched this, and then I watched, you know, The Witch is Familiar, and like for all the insane amount of differences, I enjoyed them sort of equally.
This definitely holds up.
It really does, and I would show the Time Meddler to like modern Who fans as an example of Classic Who. Like, watch this, you will enjoy this. And they would, I would think. I think it's very fun and enjoyable. I like it a lot. Like the monk. The monk comes back. I have a thing about the monk where I would really like the monk to come back if they hadn't have used him in Big Finish. They use him really well in Big Finish, but it also means that the things that happen in Big Finish make it so that if the monk showed up again, the Doctor would have to be much more angry with him. They couldn't explain that. And so it'd be this thing, like, either he'd show up and the Doctor really hated him for reasons that they're not going to talk about, or, like, the Doctor wouldn't hate him at all. He was still, like, you know, it would be like that didn't happen. Acknowledge that. And that would make me sad, because it's a really good story.
From what I've heard, Moffat is kind of a fan of the Big Finish.
No, he totally, he 100% is.
So I don't feel like
he leaves gaps in there for them.
Yeah, like he said that he writes in Big Finish gaps and he likes Big Finish a lot. But it's also a thing of like, I don't think he could acknowledge it that explicitly. Partially for like, I think there's like part of the BBC charter. There's a thing where because it's sort of you pay for a license. I know there's a whole thing about how you can't make something that people have to buy money to like watch something else in order to understand it. Like that's part of like the rules. And so like that's the thing is that you'd have to buy like if it was a thing where in order to understand this plot, you would have to like know what happened in Big Finish, like that wouldn't be allowed.
I think you could get around it by just being like, I'm mad at you for that stuff you did, and not just like very explicitly say what it is.
Yeah. Maybe. It's very vague. And the thing is like in Night of the Doctor, the minisode, they do mention all of the Eighth Doctor's companions from Big Finish. It has been explicitly acknowledged in like the TV series canon, even if it was on like a webisode. So like, I don't know. I would be curious. Cause I do like the monk a lot. I like him in this. I like him in, Big Finish too. Like, they really play up like him as like a collector. Like he's like this weird art dealer kind of thing because he's like regenerated again.
I have a question about the monk. Is that when he shows up the second time, is that like officially established as his name? Did people refer to him as the meddling monk or?
Does he get a name?
He's usually referred to as the monk. I'm trying to remember. I don't think I have seen the second serial that he's in. I think it's quite long or it's partially missing or something and I just haven't watched it. I think in Big Finish they refer to him as the monk.
Which is weird because he's not a monk.
They get around it. I know the first, well not the first, like the second time that he shows up in Big Finish, like he actually is a monk. Like he's doing another monk con.
He just really likes the monk con.
Well, he's got that outfit and you gotta use it. So like maybe I think that might have been their way around it. I don't know. I think he got, in a book he got a name and it's like Mortimus or something. But I forgot what they called him on Big Finish.
I just thought it was odd, like having seen, like I had heard of this character and having watched the episode, like I know him as the monk and he's not. That's the one thing about his character that's not true.
But is he as much a monk as the doctor is a doctor?
Probably.
Thoughts.
So!
Final thoughts!
That was a final thought.
We have an announcement of sorts.
Yes, we do want to make an announcement, and we wanted to announce it on your episode. By the way, this episode is airing either before or after your birthday, the day before or after.
Well, I mean, I was going to say, that's probably true. I mean, it's probably airing before or after my birthday. That's a safe bet.
But specifically, it's the day before or the day after. Maybe the day after. I'm not sure. So, everybody wish Chris Terry a happy birthday. Or don't.
No, I'm saying, yeah, go on, do it.
Oh. Okay, do it. Go.
Go on. Wish me a happy birthday.
Put stuff in his ask on truestoriesaboutme.tumblr.com. But our announcement is it next month?
Yep.
Next month.
It is.
Me, Tony, Mr. Cherry, and Jez from the Dalek Invasion of Earth are going to be going to Omaha, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah.
For a little mini vacation called Runaway From Our Responsibilities to K-15.
We name everything, you guys.
Yeah,
everything.
Our wedding was Joni 2014, so this is Runaway From Our Responsibilities to K-15.
If we do something, it has a hashtag.
Yeah, an incredibly unwieldy, long hashtag.
That's the joke. But during this trip, we will be recording something special, something different for the podcast.
That's going to be going up for Christmas. It's going to be our Christmas special. We are going to be watching the non-canon 60s movie. I'm not sure what year specifically, but it's the Peter Cushing Doctor version of it's the Doctor Who and the Daleks is the name of the movie. We're going to be watching that. It's
going
to be
we're going people. To try and get as many guests as possible on at once. So I believe Ben Patton said he was in.
Yes, and Vince is in.
Vince is in. Ray's uncertain. He's got a lot going on.
He's got a baby birthday. His child's birthday is around that time, but he says he's going to try.
He's got just a baby birthday. It's some baby's birthday. I mean, it's Christmas. Isn't that a baby's birthday? Have we all forgotten?
But we're recording it in October.
The plan is we are going to watch all of it as many people as possible. We're going to watch it together and make a drinking game out of it.
Yes.
And what we'd like to do is stream us watching it. We're going to stream it. We're going to put a link to the stream in our Patreon feed.
Yeah, it's a Patreon exclusive.
Right. So even if you donate $1 to our Patreon, you should have access to it. We're going to have that up, and then immediately afterwards, we're going to record
the podcast
which will go up on Christmas? Christmas Eve? You're in charge of the schedule.
I'm not certain yet. It's going to be around Christmas for sure.
It depends on how things fall.
Well, there's a thing about the Dalek Master Plan we're not sure about yet, but yes, you'll know more once we get closer to it. But it'll definitely be up around Christmas.
So,
and we don't know what the drinking game rules are going to be, so if you guys...
Yes, if you have suggestions about what should be rules for the drinking game for the movie, let us know. Leave us a message.
We are going to do a drinking game. Some people will not be joining in because they don't drink. But they will be the sober people who will keep things on
track.
They
will keep the podcast together.
They are the designated watchers.
So if you would like to see a bunch of people get drunk and watch Doctor Who, if that sounds appealing to you, consider hopping over to our Patreon.
Patreon.com/watchathon.
So yeah, that would be cool of you. That is the plan, and we're pretty excited about it.
Are you excited about it, Chris?
Oh, I'm definitely excited. Yay! Very exciting.
We're generating content, even though we're just going to get drunk and watch Doctor Who, which is, you know.
Hey, speaking of content, can I plug something?
Yeah, go for it.
This is October 15th. I don't know. So by now, like today, like the day that we're recording this is the day before episode 2 of Brains. Brains, the web series that I worked on that my roommate Bree wrote that I act in it, I help produce it, and it's a whole thing. By the time this airs, we'll be a few episodes into the season one. But it'll be every Monday. It'll still be releasing then, so everyone should go watch Brains. It's very funny and very good.
When's Relativity gonna hit, by the way?
Relativity, I am working on it now. I plugged Relativity on Jez's podcast and realized I shouldn't have because I don't have a firm release date for it yet.
Before recording this podcast with us, you were recording another podcast.
This has been your whole day.
Yeah, like immediately before.
I started at 3:30. It is 9 now.
I'm not sure when your episode is going up, but Chris is going to be on an episode of That Adult Feel, which we were previously on.
Everybody watch everybody else's thing.
You'll hear me plug Brains again, and then also Relativity. And by then, maybe that will be online.
But thanks for being on again. We enjoy having
you. I'm really glad that it got to happen. I really enjoy doing this.
And we are definitely going to have you back next season for a missing serial, because you've not watched any of those.
I have not watched any completely missing serials, no.
We're going to pop your cherry.
Because
his name
is Chris.
That's it. That's the note to go on.
Next, we'll be back with season 3, Galaxy 4. That's been the Watchathon of Rassilon.
Yay!
Yay!
I love you.
His name is Chris. Sound is tricky like that.